Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to look at the Word of God together. Hebrews chapter 2. It's brilliant to see you all here today. So glad that we can join together in the name of Jesus and worship the living God. Aren't we blessed? And that we have freedom in this nation to worship the true and living God. Let's never take our freedom for granted. And let's thank God for all the prayers of the saints through the ages who've preserved this nation, and for the current saints, which includes us, who will continue to pray for our nation and see the gospel of Jesus freely preached to everyone. Don't know why I said that, but thank God for the freedom we have to gather together in the name of Jesus. I want to speak this morning a message that God's put on my heart, and that is speaking about this great salvation. This great salvation. And Hebrews chapter 2 actually calls this a great salvation. And I'm just going to read from verse 1 of chapter 2. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? And so the Bible speaks of salvation not being an ordinary thing, but an extraordinary thing. And this is a kind of a slight warning. And I listen to both the encouragements and promises in Scripture, but I also listen to warnings. How many of you know the Word of God is for every aspect of life? And that we need to understand that God's speaking to us this morning to pay careful attention to the truth that we have heard. And this is assuming we have already heard the truth about Jesus and the truth from God's Word. We're to pay really careful attention and not neglect the truth that we've heard, so that we don't drift. So that we don't drift away. And so the Word of God tells us that if we don't pay attention, we could drift. I was once on holiday many years ago with my family as teenagers growing up. And we went to Cornwall, somewhere in Cornwall. And I remember there was an estuary. I don't even remember the name of the place, but I remember the event that happened that day. Somehow we managed to get hold of a surfboard, and my sister, there was no surf there, obviously, in the estuary, but my sister decided to float, to go out at sea and just into the estuary and float on this surfboard. And the sun was shining. The gulls were squawking. The sea, you know, it seemed all kind of calm. And she just basically, I think, was having a sunbathe on the surfboard. And it wasn't long before we saw that she had actually gone out towards the sea. We kind of were busy with talking to the people we were talking with, and she was obviously busy daydreaming. I don't know if you've ever daydreamed, but it's dangerous to daydream on a surfboard, especially when there are currents you don't know anything about. And basically, she kind of just let life happen and ended up in a very dangerous position where we had to get a boat and go out and rescue her. And actually, she was quite annoyed with us that we hadn't noticed earlier. And I was like, that's the flesh blaming other people for where you're at, isn't it? And so she was blaming us, and we were like, well, we're sorry, we just were focused on other things. But drifting is easy if you do nothing. And I think that's really the key message from the Word of God today, to begin to open up this great salvation, is we can't let the drifting of our spiritual lives go on. Otherwise, we will end up somewhere we never planned to be. But we'll end up a little bit out at sea and far away geographically from the place of safety and security. And we've been hearing from the Lord in these recent weeks about not building our lives, kind of drifting off, or we've used this analogy, like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And I have a photograph here, how the Lord's spoken to us, that we mustn't build and get our lives built wrong, because we will end up, this is not really fit for purpose. If you put your bed on the top floor in the Leaning Tower of Pisa, you would find that everything will be going to one side. And that's not God's intention. We're to build according to truth, according to the Word of God. And the Bible speaks about the Word being the plumb line. In the book of Zechariah, it says the Word of God builds like a plumb line in our lives. We don't know how to build unless we've got the Word of God, the Scriptures, to build according to truth. Because if we build according to our own imagination, or according to what people say, or according to our experiences, we will end up a long way away from where God intended us to live. And Jesus actually said that you will know the truth. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. So he is saying the Word of God has the power to set you free from all the things and issues that we can struggle with as human beings. And the truth that you know is the freedom, equals the freedom you live in. If you don't have much truth in you, you have very little true freedom. And your lives can, and my life too, can go off, drifting off without ever really intending it to. And Jesus wants us to be more like a limpet. You know those sea creatures that stick to rocks? Can I have these lights off, please? The sea creatures that actually stick to the rock. You know what a limpet is, do you? Have you ever tried to pull one off a rock? I love them because, you know, they seem quite relaxed while they're on the rock. But as soon as you touch them, they kind of suck on further, don't they? You're looking at me like you don't know what a limpet is. Have you ever tried to pull a limpet off a rock? You can fight. You'd need a sharp implement. You'd need probably a hammer and a chisel to try and get that limpet off. And basically, you and I need to be like limpets with Jesus and his word, not like drifters. Because if we drift away from the truth, we lose the power of the Christian life. And Jesus wants us to live in the glorious liberty of the children of God. God has planned us to live in freedom, and he's provided for it. So let's not drift, but fix ourselves to Jesus and his truth. Because truth sets you free. You will know the truth. Jesus said, you won't know. You see, the thing is, we are looking for experience and feelings, but I tell you, the truth has so much more power than any counseling and any kind of inner healing that the world tries to offer. The Bible tells us, and it is our experience, if you've known the power of truth personally, it is my experience that truth can deliver you and set you free from all the pains and the disappointments of life and bring you into the power and the liberty of the children of God. Now, there are signs that we can look at, a few today, of drifting. Okay, you can have signs. You can tell when you or I are slightly drifting. Let's just read a few of them. First of all, you begin to lose freedom. Because if you drift away from Jesus and his word, then you start to lose the freedom that is only found through Jesus and his word. You kind of get bound up by things that perhaps you never used to. You can always lose freedom. You can live in freedom for one season, then go back to living kind of bound up by life, heavy, burdened by life. The second sign of drifting is that you begin to get dissatisfied and disconnected. A drift mentality, spiritually speaking, actually increases a dissatisfaction with your life. And you begin to look at things to try and satisfy you. You need your new clothes. You need your new computers. Unless you have a new house, you're not going to be satisfied. Unless something changes in the person you're with or your circumstances, you're not going to be happy. And I truly believe that Jesus is the greatest happiness you or I could ever discover. The person, Jesus Christ. And we can become discontented, dissatisfied, disconnected actually from Jesus in reality. We come to church, we go through the motions as a Christian, but there isn't any real joy. There isn't any real satisfaction for being a Christian. Come on, let's not live there. I've decided not to live as a drifter, and I think that's what the Word of God is trying to communicate to everybody this morning. Don't drift, because it produces all the wrong kinds of things. Next, you begin to get full of cares and worries. Because you see, when you and I are close to Jesus and like limpets with His Word, with what His promises say, the cares of this life take over. Oh, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I must do this. I want to do that. Has anybody ever been in that place where all you think about is what you're caring about? And actually, you're not at peace. And worry starts to take over, because as soon as you come away from trusting the Lord and depending on His Word, worry will fill the gap. You'll start to get consumed about, because you'll start to try and work out your life yourself. Now, I need to be able to do this. I need to make plans for my future, because I've got to make sure that I have enough money. I've got to do this, that. And you can live a worried, burdened, anxious life. This is a life of a drifter. The next kind of diagnosis of signs of drifting is that status becomes really important. Suddenly it's about how other people perceive you, not about being free with who you are in Christ. Suddenly it really matters you get a better job because it looks better to the people around you. You feel embarrassed because you're not actually a doctor or whatever we perceive to be top job. How many people do you know get embarrassed because they say, well, I'm only a teacher, or I'm only a plumber? We're not to think of ourselves by our roles or our jobs. We're to see ourselves and our values as children of God, accepted by God, sons of God. And status and how people perceive you, it becomes all kind of important to you. Do you have what other people have in your home? What you need is a bigger kitchen, a new kitchen. You need this, you need that, and you want to compete with the people who are driving a nice car. And this really does happen to people who actually lose their position in the rock of Jesus and His Word. All other things crash in, and we find actually we're living just like we weren't saved. Just like the world, kind of doing and thinking and acting on the same things and the same basis as the world, only we come to church on a Sunday. Isn't that true? And you can recognize these signs in other people, but what we need today is to recognize the signs in us. Because we could all say, oh, they've drifted and they've drifted. But I don't believe the Word of God is for everybody else who isn't here. I believe the Word of God this morning is for those who are listening to the sound of my voice in God. And so let's be careful we don't drift. Then this is a horrible byproduct of drifting. You become insecure. You get so bothered about what people think about you. Oh, my hair's a little bit out of place. Some people can't go out if they've got a bad hair day. They are insecure. They're looking for the approval of others. If people don't thank you for serving in the church, or people don't value what you do, or people don't value you around your workplace, you're all insecure. I want them to be nice to me. I want them to like me. And insecurity is a disease from which you won't recover without truth. Only truth can set you free from your insecurity and from my insecurities. I mean, people posture, don't they? I've got a bigger car than you. I earn more than you. I've got a bigger church than you. I mean, some of you have never been to a leaders' conference, but goodness gracious me. You know, just let me say, this is how we've got to renew our minds all the time. If I said to you, next week, instead of having one of the pastors in the church preaching, we've got Brian Houston from Hillsong coming. You'd be like, you mean from that mega church? And there's a status, even in the church, of how we perceive. And actually, we're all here as ministers of God's word. I'm giving you treasure today from the word of God. The package, let's not get status-minded. Let's get Christ-minded and truth-minded. Because otherwise we go after all the things that aren't here because we miss what actually is. Isn't that good? And you don't want people to look at you like that, do you? Compare you with others? I'm sure you don't. And so there's insecurity and approval of others. Unless people say you're good, you're doing great, you don't feel like you're doing great. But how many of you know and have experienced this, that when you're insecure, people say how great you're doing. And then when you fail, you crash because you feel like you failed. And we've got to find our security in a place that never changes, where someone we know never lets us down. And he doesn't change his love for us, even on a bad day. That's Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, stress fills our lives. We live a stressed, pressurized, intense life. And this is all signs of drifting away from Jesus and his word. Can you see the signs? Yes, this morning. Can you see that when the word of God says, take heed to this great salvation so that you don't drift, come back to the plumb line of truth, get back on the rock and be more like a limpet than somebody sunbathing on a surfer. Yes, let's not drift away. So let's get back to the truth about who we are, this great salvation. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I'm just going to read one verse to start. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. Some people have a mentality about salvation being this, that God forgives my sins because I've accepted Jesus and believe in him. And he'll take me to heaven and I'm going to live for him. And they have this mentality, God's up here and I'm down here. But Christianity is not just about receiving theories and teaching. It's about receiving a person. Say that to the person next to you. Being a Christian means having the person, Jesus Christ, in you. May God open our eyes to that amazing great salvation. When God saved you, He didn't even send an angel. He sent His Son. And when He died and rose again, He sent His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, to live in all those who would turn to Jesus and believe in Him and accept Him as Lord and Savior. So you are not slightly saved. You are greatly saved. Because the Son of God has set you free. And if the Son sets you free, the Bible says you are free indeed. You are not lacking if you have God in you. Isn't that mega? May God open our eyes to see that the greatest thing that could ever have happened to us has happened. We have Him, Christ, in us, the hope of glory, the Bible says. And verse 10 of this chapter was one of the most liberating verses in my personal experience as a Christian. Years ago, when I understood this, I actually ran out into a field and shouted and screamed, hallelujah. I tried to get away from people and say, God, I can't believe this. This is incredible. We'll read verse 9. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity, that's God, lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ. Okay, think about Jesus as He walked and He ministered. He had all the fullness of God in Him. And now, because you are in Christ, you have received. Say, have received. So that's past tense, isn't it? You've got to be careful of your tenses with Scripture. Because if you think you've got to receive something, then you're not quite full yet. You haven't got everything. But in Christ, you have received fullness. That means, another translation says, you are complete in Him. Not in yourself, I must add that. Because you actually were absolutely no good. Without Jesus, you can't go to heaven and you're not accepted by God. But in Christ, you are complete. You lack nothing. And that word, complete, actually means He fills up every need of your life. Can I say that again? He fills up every need of your life. Every insecurity, He fills up and makes you secure. Every lack of peace, He brings peace. Everything that you need in terms of resources, God is your provider and He will provide everything you need. There is nothing that you lack because you have Christ, God Himself, in you. May God unveil your eyes, the eyes of your heart, to see the immensity of the truth this morning. So, when you look at yourself, you don't see all your lack. You don't see what you're missing. You don't see all the areas of your life which you're thinking, gosh, this isn't good. You're seeing, I've got fullness in God. Lord, help people to get happy about this message. Come on. Help people to believe it. You know, when you believe it, you smile. You get happy because faith releases. May God fill you with all joy and peace in believing this, that you're complete in Christ. In believing it, not just hearing it as a theory, but as you sit on that beautiful chair, Christ is in you. The Lord of heaven and earth lives in you. by his Spirit. That's why Jesus said, it's much better I go away, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's not just going to be with you. He's going to be in you. And so if someone was to say, you're lacking, you can say, well, the Lord will fill up every need, so I don't lack. And continue to walk in him with that dependence on his ability in every situation. As you live out your life, continue to draw on his strength. Every day, say, Lord, thank you. You're more than enough for today. I have everything that I need for life because you're in me today. I lack no good thing because every good thing is in Christ. And Christ is in me, and therefore I'm not lacking anything. See, this is the rock you need to get stuck to. This is the truth you need to be like a limpet with. Because unless you get this straight in your heart and mind, you're always going to live looking for your needs to be met. But Christ meets all your needs. He is the all-sufficient God. Turn with me to Galatians. Let's look at this amazing salvation in Galatians. Isn't that an amazing salvation we have? Galatians chapter 2. No, 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You are all sons of God. Now, yes, we're girls, some of us, by gender, but by spiritual sight, because sons get the inheritance. Don't call me a daughter of God, because I'm a son, because sons get it all. And this tells me I've got it all. Because it goes on to say, we're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, so you've been immersed into Christ by faith in him, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I am complete in Christ, and I'm a son of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm an heir of the promise. Now, I know you as well as I know me, that if I think I've got an inheritance, I want to know about what I've just got. If somebody died to give you an inheritance, wouldn't you be a little bit excited about what was about to come in? Because an inheritance never means a withdrawal from your account. It actually means you're about to get something. Have you ever seen the program Air Hunters on the BBC? Maybe you haven't, but all it is this... These people who work to actually find the people who've got distant relatives, they died and they've got this money or this estate that they want to hand on to people that are in a long line down the way down into the family. And so these air hunters go out to try and find them so that they can find out about their inheritance and claim it. It's actually probably one of the happiest jobs on earth you could have. Can you imagine being an air hunter? That you're actually going around saying, I just want to tell you, sweetheart, that you've just inherited £1 million and a house with a swimming pool. What a great job. Now, Galatians 4 verse 6 says, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you're a son, God has also made you an heir. All the sons of God are heirs. In other words, inheriting the Father's estate. Just stay seated. I know you want to jump up and down, and I know, like air hunters, the BBC get a better reaction than the church, but that's okay. It's because we can get a bit religious, and we need to shake it off. Because actually, if you're an heir, it's time to get happy. So just tap your little feet under the chairs, even if that's all you can imagine manage this morning. But it's incredible that you're an heir of God. That he died. He actually rose again. And left his will and testament for you to find out. And I'm here to tell you that there's a whole lot of unclaimed fortune going on. There's a whole lot of unclaimed fortune in your life. There's a richness in you and an ability in you that you haven't even tapped into. Your unclaimed fortune. Christ in you. And Romans actually said, and says, he who did not spare his son, in other words, he gave his son, will he not also with him give all things? Oh, happy day, happy day. God didn't spare giving you his son. Will he not also give you all things that you need for your life? This is our God, and this is great salvation. And we've got to stop talking about I'm saved in a minimalistic kind of way. We've got to stop saying, I'm a Christian. It's like, I'm so blessed. So blessed. I'm complete in Christ. You know, there aren't many that are called, and I know whenever I say this, some people get very nervous. And I don't want to make you nervous. I just want the will of God for your life. But when I grew up, all I had a vision for was getting married and having children. That was the totality of my vision, and actually having lots of money in a house, you know, until I got saved. But I always believed, even years after I got saved, that that was the path of fulfillment that God had for me. And he has a path of fulfillment for all of us, married or single. The Bible says that singleness is a gift, not a curse. It's a gift. Hello! Should we think according to Plumline? And marriage is a gift. Some of you need to say, help, by faith, yes. It's a gift. Singleness is a gift. And I actually believed that I would meet someone, and actually I did, and fell in love, and I did. And God warned me just to get out. It was just not right for either of us. So I actually pulled the plug on the wedding, and he knew it was wrong as well, so it was a kind of a good parting. And then I went through the struggle of, but the church mostly think you're only complete if you come with an appendage called a husband. Sorry, but you're not an appendage. But do you know what I mean? That's what's communicated. That if you don't come with somebody, there's a bit of an incompleteness. And somebody even called me a lady in waiting. I was like, and I'm like, hang on a minute. I need a plumb line to be set free. And I also was adopting this mentality that if I was single, I wouldn't be complete until I met my knight in shining armor. Now, this call is not for everybody, and I have been called to be single. And I promise you, a lot of you sitting there going, that's not my call. It's not my call. For those of you who are sitting there fighting what I'm saying, I am not determining the will of God for your life. The Lord will lead you into the gift of singleness or the gift of marriage. But that doesn't determine who I am. Does it? Because in Christ, I am complete. And do you know what? If you're waiting for, never wait, continue to seek the kingdom and then you will find. All things will be added if you are called to be married. Seek first the kingdom and all things will be added. Hello. That's the way to get your wife or your husband if you're called for that. Forget what I was going to say. Bosh. Gone. Huh? Don't wait. Just live complete. Live complete in your marriage. Live complete in the season of your life. If you have lost a loved one, you are complete in Christ. If you're divorced, you're complete in Christ. This truth is the truth that sets you free. This is the truth that sets you free. You can live free. And let me tell you, as a single, you become far more attractive living complete because you're not a drainer, you're a giver. You don't suck the life out of everybody, clawing them to meet your need. You're just free because Jesus set you free. I'm glad I'm not on film. I'm so glad I'm not on camera this morning. That was weird. Praise the Lord that I am complete. And God set me free even of the desire to be married when he called me to be single and to serve him in the way that I do. He said, I'll set you free. There's grace. I will fill every need of your life in whatever I call you to do. And if you're called to be married, he will fill every need. He will fill every need. And if you're called to be single, I love Jesus. This is why it's a great salvation. I'm happy about being saved today. Amen. You know, the world needs this message. I was shopping on my day off in a supermarket, and San and I were in the queue. She had her little thing that she was paying for. Then there was mine. What's funny is she had to pay for mine while I went off and did something else, but I owe her. But we're standing in this queue, and I just standing there looking around thinking, God, I'm so blessed. I was just standing there thinking, I'm so blessed. I've got Jesus. I've got the people, the friends that he gives me. I've got a great church. You. I'm so blessed. I've got clothes to wear, a house to live in, food to eat. I'm so blessed. I love what I do. I'm blessed. And this lady was listening, and we knew she was. So I kept going. And she said, we were talking about people's self-image, and I was like, well, this is the blessing of being in Christ. You don't struggle with self-image. Oh, happy day. Happy day. You don't struggle with how you look. I don't have to get surgery. It's cheaper to live free. I don't need this injection in my lips and elsewhere. I can just be free. For heaven's sake. You know, what are we looking at? And I was just saying I'm blessed. And this lady was talking about self-image, how her granddaughter was struggling. And I just said, you know, it's so important that we live content. Of course, I know without Jesus you can't, but I thought I'd just say it, you know. Then she just mentioned a year ago, in last November, I lost my daughter. And then she went down, you know how, she just said that and moved down the line. While I'm standing there, feeling so moved that this woman and her daughter was 43. And I just said to Sam, I've just got to get to her. She walked off with her trolley. I've just got to get to her. That's why I left her the shopping. Witnessing is cheaper. It's amazing. I'm seeking first the kingdom. You pay. I'll have to sort it. I still haven't, have I? Anyway, I owe you. And I went after her, and she was walking out with a trolley, and I just had to do something. I put my hand on her, and I said, I was so sorry about your daughter. And she just turned, and we just held hands. This is in the middle of the supermarket on the way out. And I just said, you know, I'm really sorry. She said, a year ago, she said, I just can't get over it. All the counseling, I've been to all the counseling, and try to get all the help that I can. But I can't seem to lift my head. And I'm holding her hand, and I mean, I'm crying. Because I'm just literally undone by this woman's circumstances. And somehow I just said, I understand. And I nursed my mum. And she died of a disease that it was horrendous for her. And I said, I understand, I went through it, and I understand that. I said, you just cry at night and during the day. She said, I just can hardly go out. And I just said to her, there's someone who sees, and he's with you always. He's there, he knows. And that someone is Jesus. You see, I'm a Christian minister. But I'm also a Christian personally. And I know that Jesus fills the void. Jesus fills the void. And she said, you know, she was beginning to say, well, thank you. And I said, and it must have been a word of knowledge. I said, do you remember, because you don't do this unless you're in the Spirit. I said, do you remember as a child, used to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. And then it goes into, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. And she said, I did. I used to sing that as a child. And I said, ask him, talk to him. He's there. And read your Bible. Read about Jesus. I'm sorry that this has happened, but he can heal you. And he will replace. He will fill. He will meet every need. And he will lift off that shroud of grief and bring hope for a future. Don't the world need what Jesus does in saving people? He makes everyone complete. Sons of God. People who inherit a fortune when they get saved. They inherit God. And the ability to live strong every day. And to love. Because of what happens to us, we lose the heart to love. But the love of God is in your heart through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And now we can love others. Rather than be takers, we can be people who love and lay down our lives for others. We are complete in Christ, church. And that means if you have lost and you have been disappointed and you've been hurt and you've not seen things happen in the way that you thought, Jesus will fill every part that you give him. If you hold it on to yourself, then it'll stay yours. But if you let go and say, Lord, fill me, you'll live in the freedom. Let's just now look at, shall we? I am complete in Christ. Let's look at this. We're going to look at a picture now. And I know some of you have seen this before, but I don't care whether you've seen it before. It's are you living in this fortune, this inheritance, right? Because it's not just words. It's got to be life. It's what you actually live in. Let's look at this. And we got kind of two sides to this chart, right? It's something that you were. There's a reality of who you were before you accepted Jesus. And now over this side, we're going to see now who you are in Christ. Now, in Christ is really easily explained. If this is you, symbolically, a piece of paper. When you accepted Jesus, you were included in Christ. Now you're hidden in Christ, in God. Is that amazing? So your identity has become Him. Christ is your life, Scripture says. So now, what you were, let's look at this. You used to be dead to God because of sin. Now you are alive to God. Your spirit is alive. You know God today. In this meeting, God is in your spirit and you're alive to Him. Isn't that fantastic? You were cursed under the curse of law, under the curse of this fallen world. Now you have been blessed with every blessing in Christ. You were unable to stop sinning because you had a sin nature. You didn't just sin. It was your nature to sin. But when you accepted Jesus, you received a new nature, which is Christ in you. Now you have a divine nature. Go on, say it. I have a divine nature. This is the truth that sets you free. You have a divine nature. You're righteous and blameless in Christ. You were an enemy of God. Now you're sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Talk about a fortune, your inheritance. You were under Satan's power. Now you're in Christ, above all in Christ, conquerors and victorious over the enemy. Come on, you are in a position to defeat the enemy and put him under your feet. In Christ, Ephesians says you've been raised in Christ and are seated in heavenly places far above all powers and principalities of darkness. You're not under the devil, you're over him. Praise the name of Jesus. You were functioning out of human resources. Now you have divine resources. So that means you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can do. You're a can-do person through Christ. No more I can'ts, since I can through Christ. You were destined for hell. You're not only going to heaven, you're a citizen of heaven. Ambassadors for Christ. I mean, doesn't this change the game? You were fear-filled. Now the perfect love of God has cast out all fear. You are loved. You were filled with selfish ambition. I want, I think, I desire. Now, this is the life-changing word, you have sacrificial love for God and others. You're willing to lay down your life to serve God and others. This is the new creation. Isn't that amazing? Finally, you were incomplete. But now, you are complete in Christ Jesus. So in other words, that's gone. This is what remains. And this is the plumb line of God's word. And this is the truth that sets us free. Isn't it? Aren't you glad you're not struggling to be blessed, but God has blessed you with every blessing? That you're accepted, loved, and righteous in God. May this truth set you free, so that you live continually in the life of Jesus. This is our truth. This is the position that we are and have now in Christ. I'm going to just finish just by saying that Scripture always says that and holds up the truth about who we are in Christ. But then, Scripture then says, because of who you are, this is what your performance is supposed to be. So in other words, Scripture then holds us accountable for living this. And Paul in Ephesians 4 says, so therefore walk worthy of your calling in Christ. Walk worthy of divine resources as citizens of heaven, as sons of God. Walk worthy of being righteous and holy and set apart for God. Walk worthy, alive to God, with the ability of God in your life. And isn't it important that we are held accountable for what God has done? It's not just to make us feel good. God's looking to replace a responsibility on you and me to live out this new life in Christ. So what does it mean to walk worthy? It means actually to walk up to the standard of what God says you are and to live in the power of his life through you, rooted and built up in him. Because when you know who you are, then you live differently. When you know who you are, you live differently. When you know the truth, you will actually line up your life and live accordingly. Now, I'm going to finish with a story about a French king called Louis XVI. And I'd just like you to listen to this as an example of someone who was born into a position as a king. And how he was called to live. And how he lived actually in the world. And actually it was King Louis's son, the Dauphin. That's a nice accent. Of France. And the story goes about, it's about the son of King Louis XVI of France. Basically King Louis had been taken from his throne and imprisoned and actually was murdered in the French Revolution. And so this left his son an orphan. And they took this boy to a community far away. And they basically wanted to knock out of him his destiny and his great calling to be a king. They wanted to knock it out of him. And you need to know the devil wants to knock it out of you, your destiny and your calling. So they took this boy to live in a community and they exposed the lad to every filthy and vile thing that life could offer. They exposed him to food, which would make him a slave of appetite. They exposed him to lewd and lusting women. They used vile language around him constantly. And they exposed him to dishonor and distrust. He was surrounded 24 hours a day by everything that could drag the soul of a person down as low as one could slip. For over 6 months, he had this treatment. But not once did the young lad buckle under the pressure. Finally, after intensive temptation, they questioned him and said, "Why have you not submitted yourself to these things? Because basically, they will provide pleasure, they will meet and satisfy your lust, and they're desirable. They're all yours, you can have them." And the boy replied with this statement, "I cannot do what you ask, for I was born a king. I cannot do what you ask, because I was born a king." The position that he was born into actually gave him that strong stand and mentality that I can't get involved with what people get involved in because I'm actually a son of God. a king under the King of Kings. And it isn't in my nature, and it isn't in my position to get involved with all that kind of stuff. And how important our position then determines how we are going to respond. And this boy never lost the mentality that he was born to be a king. And we are born again through faith, sons of God through faith in Jesus. We're complete in him. We have all the riches of his life in us. Is it not a possibility that we can also say no to the things that the world asks us to get involved in? The speaking, the degrading, the downgrading, the watching, and getting involved with filthy things. But we've been called, because we are holy, to live a holy life, set apart for our King. We have a destiny to be just like Jesus. Because his life in us enables us to do that.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.